Welcome to the AO Trauma North America Mentor-Mentee Interview Series. I'm Stephen Scheinman, an orthopedic trauma surgeon at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Thank you for tuning in. I would like to remind you that the video recordings of the Mentor-Mentee interviews are available on the AO Trauma North America YouTube channel. And don't forget to check out other Mentor-Mentee interviews on the AO Trauma North America Spotify channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's my pleasure to introduce and talk to Professor George Alonzo, who is now retired, but had an illustrious career in Alabama, mostly in Birmingham, but a little bit in Mobile. So it's a great honor and privilege to speak with George today and talk about his career.
Thank you, Langdon. And thank you for spending some time together when we were in Alabama.
How did you get involved in AO? How did that turn out?
Very interesting. My program when I started orthopedic was at Mount Sinai Medical Center here in Miami Beach. And the day of my birthday, starting my second year in orthopedic, Dr. Charles Weiss came to me and says, George, the program is closing. So I went crazy, like I usually go when I get a news like that. And I started looking around and I ended up interviewing in Jackson, Mississippi. When I got to Jackson, Mississippi, I interviewed with Alan Freeland, Jim Hughes, I'm very lucky, and I got the job in Mississippi. When I got to Mississippi, Jim Hughes says, George, do you know anything about the AO? As you know from Miami, Miami here was mainly Sarmiento and close reductions and casting and braces and things like that. So when I got to Mississippi, Hugh says, I want you to spend the first week here in Jackson in the trailer on the back of my office right here. There's a gentleman there that is going to teach you the basic principles. So I went back there, knocked on the door of the trailer. This older gentleman opened the door and he says, you George Alonzo? I said, yes. He says, come on in. And gave me the book and we start going page by page of the manual. At the end of the week, I figured out that his name was in the book, Professor Hans Villanigger. So again, I was lucky that I came to Mississippi and I took my basic course. I never went to a basic course from Hans Villanigger on a week. Villanigger is one of the four, like my son used to call them, gods in orthopedic trauma.
Right. He's a founding father of the AO.
Founding father.
Right there in Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were lucky that I had Jim Hughes that spent a lot of time in Switzerland, and he used to bring Professor Bondi, Hans Villanigger, Al Gower, things like that to Jackson, Mississippi. And that's how I started getting interested in the AO. But there's, again, for the younger guys, I remember Hans Villanigger, Hans telling me, George, AO is not the equipment. We can do AO going to the Ace Hardware store and getting equipment. as long as you follow the principle. And the basic principles were simple. But the problem is that people have to follow the basic principles of the AO. And I had the chance that every time I went to Switzerland, I had to go to his office that was on the train station in Basel. His office was in the train station in Basel. And his secretary was there always waiting. Oh, Professor Hunter is ready for you, George, blah, 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 blah. And we sat there and we talked a lot about it, all kinds of things. And what is interesting is once I started to finish my residency, I did my fellowships, and I did started traveling and giving lectures. Every time I went to a country, mainly in South America, it was the picture of Hans Villanueva, and everybody of Venezuela, Brazil, Colombia, Panama, oh, Villanueva was the best friend of Colombia. Villanueva was the best friend. They used to love him down there.
You went on and you had a long career at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, very academically productive, I mean, clinically productive. I remember calling you and you said, well, we're on our, 20th acetabular fracture of the week or something crazy like that.
Everybody was still in traction any day of the week. And I still had another five of them to finish before the week. But at the end of the week, there was another five in traction. It was crazy in the UAB.
Yeah, you had, I mean, it was very clinically busy there, but you were also academically lecturing and publishing and doing your grant. So how'd you put all that together?
You have to have balance. I used to have a piece of wood, and then I used to put my finger in the middle. And I said, well, from this piece of wood to the right, it's my personal life. From this piece of wood to the left is my work life, okay? Meaning work, career, and then in the other side, we had family, friends, kids. And one thing that I did from the beginning was I had three kids. I took time to meet with my kids and go out with my kids all together. And then I took one kid at a time, once a week, once every other week, to give him just personal attention. And believe it or not, I started doing that with the residents too. Take the whole team out, went to lunch. But then I used to sit down with each individual resident. And I said, hey, don't go in hands. I don't think you can work on hands. I think the best thing for you is to look at the scope. You know, the other thing that I did is I lived south of Birmingham in a place called South Lake. And I used to draw a line in the middle of the road before South Lake and the university, where John Carroll used to be, school where my kids went. So on that red line, imaginary red line, when I used to cross that red line to go to work, I left all my problems from home, south. When I used to come south from the university, I used to leave all my problems from work, north from that line. And that helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, about publication, you have to organize yourself. Like I was reading the other day is who developed the light bulb? Edison. Edison in 1878 developed the light bulb. We all think that Edison was the one who developed the light bulb. Well, Edison had 20 people working for him developing the light bulb. So you have to have a team. The best thing is not to be alone, to be a one-man army or army of one. You have to have the team, organize the team, hire the right people, hire the people for research, hire, you know, so you can really organize your system. I was very lucky when I got to Birmingham. The chairman of the Department of Medicine called me and says, George, I have here that they're trying to contact me from the CDC, that they want to give me some money for research on pelvic trauma. Not even my chief in orthopedy, which was Kurt Niemann, he was excellent, but the chief of medicine. So I said, okay, Dr. Koopman, that's me. I went and I got that grant. And one of the first things that I did on that, with that grant, I did the study of pelvic fractures and the displacement of the fracture, lateral impact, frontal impact through the B pillar. And what we found out was that we went to a meeting in Wayne State in Detroit, which all the car manufacturers were there. And we presented a paper that with lateral impact and lateral airbags, yeah, at that time there's only two cars that were having airbags, the fracture occurred on impact. What happened then was that the airbag inflated and displaced the fracture. 28 milliseconds. So I became famous, quote unquote, from pelvic trauma because of 28 milliseconds. Volvo changed the inflation of the airbag, Mercedes, blah, 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 blah. And that's just got the thing started. Mercedes, which is interesting too, came to Alabama and they built a factory in Vance, Alabama, right next to Tuscaloosa. And we start working with the engineers because we then started a center for engineers to study research there. And they were complaining because I was picking the engineer at the airport in my BMW. So I had to buy an M-class Mercedes. So it just cases. And not only that, then we started publishing and we started doing research not only with x-rays, radiology, we started doing research with biomechanics, we started doing research with you can imagine all different parts of DVT prophylaxis, bleeding, looking at seat belts, airbags, nothing, all three of them together or one at a time, and we came with incredible papers. We presented at the OTA in San Diego. Can't remember the year, it was at the beginning, the Mercedes-Benz security and the Mercedes-Benz safety feature. Mercedes gave me a Mercedes that they brought from Germany that they cut in half to show all the safety. And we put it on the train in Birmingham and send it to San Diego. And that was the show there in the OTA.
Traveled a lot, you've lectured a lot, you've been in Latin America, to the Middle East and Africa, you've been to Davos. What's your most memorable AO travel experience?
One of them was the alumni meeting that we had in Italy and Sardinia. And I'm telling you why, because at that time I was focusing, as I was getting older, focusing on the elderly population and the, what I said, we're gonna get into people that are gonna be involved in car wrecks that have osteopenic bones and how we're gonna fix them, et cetera, et cetera. So with that meeting in Sardinia, the courses for the elderly population and fixation of fractures and classification of fractures took off.
You know, in Birmingham, you had a lot of great colleagues. So how did you put all that together?
I'm gonna get yelled at with the answer I'm gonna give you, okay? Because I'm an Auburn fan. Okay. And to me, that's why University of Alabama, Roll Tide, have put such an incredible team together, is because they have developed an incredible infrastructure. When you have labs, nurses, equipment, to do your research, to do your studies, people that come to interview and look all of that, they like it. We have incredible offices, we have incredible lab. I had a minimal invasive surgery, endoscopy, computer guided surgery lab. It's one thing after the other. You know, people say, well, but I think I have published a total of about 72, 73 articles in peer review, and another bunch of them in non-peer review magazine. But I used to tell the resident, for each of the article in peer review, probably I got a no in another four. That it was 100 and some articles, but I got no in a bunch of them. I remember that my first paper that I presented in the academy, I was a fellow of pediatric orthopedics in Jacksonville, Nemours Children's Hospital, with Dr. Wood Lovell. Okay? So now I'm getting to you and telling you that my mentor number one was Jim Hughes. My second mentor was Wood Lovell. We wrote a paper on the Altdorf hip clamp, which is for osteotomies of the hip in kids. When I went to Lovell and told him that I was present that paper in Las Vegas in the orthopedic session, and I walked into that room, there was 2,000 people, 3,000 people in that room. And Dr. Lovell says, George, he was very calm, George, don't worry. Out of those 3,000 people, you know more about this than 2,500 of them. But I said, but Dr. Lovell, there are 500 of them that they're going to kill me when I present this. And he said, no, you're doing fine. You're going to do fine. So that's how I started getting into presenting papers. You asked me what was my most memorable course. My most memorable course was a pelvic course and basic course in Dubai. I arrived in Dubai and the chief of orthopedics there and the minister in Dubai for health and the home said, George, I want you to do a case. I said, well, can I do a case? They looked at me and said, we own this incredible hospital, incredible facility. So I said, okay, what case is it? He said, well, it's a bolt column acetabular fracture. And I looked at the x-rays and CT scan, and I had to do an ilioinguinal approach. They were, do we have the equipment? And I says, they said, yes, we have the equipment. We can get you any equipment that you want right now. I said, okay. I started looking and kind of pre-planning the case. And the minister there says, do you mind if we bring the press and the TV into the operating room? Of course. What am I going to say? No. You know, it was interesting because my wife was in the hotel while I was doing the case, and she was watching me on TV while I was doing the case in the hotel.
Crazy. How did it turn out?
I'm here.
How did the x-rays look when you got done?
Excellent, but I'm here.
Yeah. That's right. What advice would you have for people getting started in a career in orthopedic trauma?
Orthopedic trauma, you have to have oomph. I'm going to say, what is oomph? When I interview the residents, I have two questions. First question, if you were an animal, what kind of animal and why? And if not the animal, I just wanted to know why they were selecting that animal. Oh, I wanted to be a dog because a dog is very loyal and this and that. Or I want to be a horse because a horse is a worker, blah, 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 blah. I got blown away with that question only once. And he says, I want to be a platypus. I didn't know what the hell a platypus was. I need to make a call right away. I went to the office next door and looked in the computer with a platypus. Didn't make it in the program. And the other question is, you have to have oomph. Oomph, be there early in the morning, have everything ready, leave at nighttime, make sure everything is okay, make sure everything is tucked in, everybody's tucked in bed. And we had very good residents. Out of the residents that we had at UAB, we have residents now that are in program, working in programs all over the United States. The other thing, and I met with Peter Motter, I met with the hierarchy of the AO in Switzerland. I started the pelvic and acetabulum fellowship program at UAB. And we started that the program was only going to be for 3 to 4 weeks. And I told Peter Motter, and we went to the hierarchy there and said, no, I need at least 3 months to 6 months. You have to follow the patient, and you have to see your results. You have to read the x-rays. You have to. And even though with that, while I was at UAB, I had 68 fellows from the AO. And out of those 68 fellows, 66 really did a lot of work. Others went to see the NASA shuttle in Huntsville and this and that. Some went down to Destin to see the beach and things like that. But out of all those fellows that rotated with me at UAB, I have about 15 that are now big name in trauma, big name in acetabular fracture all throughout the world. I can tell you, Graciela Gallardo from Mexico. Graciela, when she finished with me, went to Mexico City. The first year she was there, after she finished with me, she did 400 ilioinguinal approaches.
Oh my goodness.
Mexico has 28 million people. So the accidents there, they're every 10 minutes. I had Kochi Lisbert from Europe, and he is the chief in GOTS. I had Ivan Salci from Peru. I had Vicente Giordano from Rio de Janeiro. I have Bolivar Franco from Panama. So I can keep reading the names of the people that have rotated with me. That's another thing. They have all my slides, but they are teaching and they're getting involved with that. I just went to Spain before all of this, before all the COVID, and I went to visit Salamanca. I graduated from Salamanca. Why Salamanca? Well, when I came from Cuba to the United States, I did all my high school and everything here. But when I was ready to go to college, my English was horrible, like it is right now. And I couldn't get in a new university here in the United States. So I wanted to be a doctor, so I went to Salamanca. And it's interesting because now in Salamanca was founded in 1134. Okay, 1134. King Alexander IX made it a university in 1218. Okay? It's the third oldest university in the world. The rector of the university, Ricardo Rivero Ortega, we became good friends, and the chairman of orthopedic, his name is Juan Francisco Blanco Blanco, that I talk to him almost every week, has made me distinguished professor of the University of Salamanca. And with that, he wants me to go every year for graduation to give the Jorge Alonso Award to the best orthopedic resident.
Very nice.
So the thing that I'm doing, and I was and trying to make Salamanca an Alpha Omega Alpha Center. So I'm Alpha Omega Alpha. BOA. To get that university in Europe will be the second university, but do on that one that are in the Alpha Omega Alpha. Was not only the research and is helping other countries take care of this horrible injury and also helping them with rules and regulation. For example, I went to Rio de Janeiro to help sign the law for seatbelts in Brazil. They have to wear now seatbelts in Brazil. So it's important.
Well, so lastly, I got to ask you about fishing. Tell me about your most recent fishing trip.
Well, my most recent fishing trip is very interesting. I have a granddaughter that is going to be 4 years old next month. She comes up to me and says, "Lo." I'm Lo because in Spanish, his grandfather is abuelo, so I'm Lo. I want to go fishing, but I want to get a big fish. Her name is Halo. Halo, what do you mean a big fish? And I said, she says, I want a marlin. And I said, okay, let's plan. So I made reservation in this December, and I spent that week fishing in Cabo San Lucas. Now, so you can see, he walked in that boat.
Look at that.
She didn't want to move.
Yeah. Ready to reel in the big one.
So Eric says, Dad, what are we going to do? He says, well, let's put a bait on that hook and just throw it in the water and see what happens. Well, not even 15 minutes later, she hooked a tuna. So I was holding the rod and I was holding her. So she got tuna. And then she says, no, we still have to come back to get the marlin. So that's what I'm doing. I'm spending time with the family.
And, you know, it's all been facilitated through that first visit with Jim Hughes in the trailer with the AO founder, Hans Villeneuve.
You never know what's going to happen.